Ready for this?
Sure.
Ready to be in the hot seat for once?
I'm always in the hot seat. Like I tell everyone, if you have a question, I have an answer.
Okay. So today we're going to be talking about programming. I think this is super fascinating now that I've had an opportunity to get more of a behind the scenes look the last few years, just watching you do it, because I've never put much thought into it before that. And I don't think most people do. How much do you think people think about programming as a member?
From the aspect of what they're doing, they overthink about it. From the aspect of what the big picture is, they think about it 0%. So there's two edges to that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're focusing on the wrong one.
Okay. So, I mean, we can jump into that a little bit. As a member, when I'm looking at a workout, what should I be focusing on?
One thing.
Okay.
What is the goal?
Okay.
That's it. Once you have the goal in mind, then it comes down to, okay, what do I want to get out of this workout?
Mm-hmm.
So every workout's going to have a specific goal, and each individual person is going to be different. I was having this conversation on Saturday after doing some toes bar, and the requirement was that you do large sets. But if you only ever get good at doing single toes bar in order to increase speed, you never get good at doing large sets of toes bar. So depending on what you're specifically trying to accomplish or train should be how you kind of approach a specific workout within the parameters of the goal. So if we know the goal is 7 to 10 minutes, then I say I really want to get better at doing stringy toes bar. Well, I'm going to modify everything as appropriately and spend an extra maybe 5 to 10 seconds of rest to force myself to always go unbroken 10 sets or 10 reps on the toes bar, because now I'm training capacity to always do that and find my sweet spot. So I'm sacrificing a little bit of a speed, but I'm helping with overall skill development, which is actually going to increase my fitness in the long run.
Yeah. Okay. And so, kind of backtracking a little bit, well, how long have you been programming?
Since, oh boy. If you really want to dive into it, I've programmed workouts since 2013.
Mm-hmm.
So I started CrossFit in 2012, but I've had dabbled into doing Saturday variations of workouts in 2013. I was doing tons of programming, like in excess of 2 to 3 times a week in 2015, I think that was. That sounds about right. About probably at least halfway through 2015. That's when I started doing programming 2 to 3 days a week of that, and continued that through 2016. Going to 2017, I was programming 6 days a week, and until here we are in 2021.
Right.
That's a lot of workouts, and I'm gonna misquote it, but. There's one of the original CrossFit instructors that said something along the lines of any idiot can write a workout, but it takes a not necessarily a master, but someone who has complete understanding to make the workout flow for the intended needs of a purpose,
right?
Whether the purpose is helping the general population improve their fitness or helping an athlete get stronger. There's very much a line in the sand where the difference in people's abilities to program are drawn. And as someone who has studied it and gone about it and actually pays attention to results and outcomes, I'm able to recognize whether someone has good programming or doesn't, or on a basis that they have no idea what they're talking about, if I ask them if they have a purpose or not.
Right. And I think for me, seeing that it is a whole process, right? Like seeing you work on it at night from your laptop, Saturday, Sunday, or on long drives in the car, me driving and you listening, you know, listening to you kind of put it all together, understanding that it's not a day by day thing, right? I mean, it's a whole week, if not weeks or month long picture that you're looking at and how it all ties together. Can you talk about that? Like, how big of a scope are you looking at? How do you piece it together?
So the biggest piece, kind of a bit, or best analogy would be, it's like writing a book, except this book never ends. So I have to know who the characters are. I have to know what the plot is, what I want to accomplish. And then I have to know how often reoccurring themes happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so the recurring themes would be the benchmark workouts, the stuff that we have done repeatedly over and over again. If we do them too soon, it's, you don't get enough time to kind of really judge if there's been improvements. Other things like, what are the elements that happened before some of those workouts?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I used to be big on programming benchmarks on a Monday when everyone was fresh after a weekend. And I came to the realization that when we're doing most of our fitness and stuff like that, it's not when we're fresh,
mm-hmm.
right? Because only Mondays are we fresh. Every other day of the week,
mm-hmm.
for the most part, if people actually worked out a day before, they're not fresh. So it's better to actually test people
mm-hmm.
when they're not necessarily fatigued, sore, whatever that combination happens to be, after they've already had
mm-hmm.
some other workouts in their book, because you're more likely to be in a situation where you're under some sort of constraint than you are to be more fresh and testing stuff. So shifting those benchmarks, kind of those themes
mm-hmm.
throughout the whole story is a big thing. Other things you want to look at are, is it fun?
Mm-hmm.
For me, any time of workouts I write, I look at it and I'm like, okay, is this something I want to do? The answer is always yes for me, because I don't care. It doesn't, like, I love training in general.
Mm-hmm.
So every single workout is a chance for me to do something unique, as well as challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And that little aspect is something that really resonates with people. So if I were to write a workout like, all right, guys, we're going to do 500 burpees, like, I really don't want to do 500 burpees, so
mm-hmm.
I'm probably not going to write that workout down.
Right.
As much of a good test of fitness it might actually be, it's going to take a long time. You're going to end up with a burpee toe, like Hugo likes to say. If you guys have questions about it, ask him, he'll explain it.
I know what that
yeah.
feels like.
And it's just going to be a long process, and it's going to be longer than 60 minutes as well to get
right.
through that workout. So the finding the nuances of telling a great story
mm-hmm.
is really kind of what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Programming.
And I, again, have been around when overheard you say when you're working, like, oh, this is a good workout. This is going to be a good one. What makes you say that when you have those moments putting together a workout? Is it knowing your member base and knowing, like, okay, this is what I think my people specifically, or just the workout or combination of movements?
No, so when I think that, the thing that's mostly coming to mind is that it's spicy and people are not going to expect what's about to hit them.
Mm.
Like it's a hidden element of toughness that they are unaware of.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like I think a really good example would be, which we just did recently, would be Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
That's a workout where you get through round one and you're like, okay, this is okay, I got through that. But you go to do round two of that
yeah.
workout and you run into a wall faster than you could possibly.
A second sled push catches up with you real quick.
Yeah, and so the first round sucks, that's kind of part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the second round is so bad
yeah.
that you had no idea it was coming. It was going to be that bad when you get to it.
Okay.
And the third round, if you're mentally not prepared for it, will also smack you in the face.
Yeah.
And occasional workouts like that, ones where it's not necessarily hidden, it's just like people don't know how it's going to affect them.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I've been doing this long enough, I have a pretty good understanding of what's going to happen because I've done so many combinations of movements and workouts
mm-hmm.
over the years that it's allowed me to kind of acknowledge or notice when little shifts and changes are going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But people don't pay attention to that kind of stuff, so it's,
right.
you know, it's not really relevant. They don't need to. It's not really important. They don't want to care.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for them, it doesn't really matter. It's just a question of, like, the recognition that it got away from them faster than I thought it was going to.
Yeah. And I think Eric and I were laughing about this just the other day. I think it might have been Thursday's workout. The 12-minute AMRAP where we had the deadlifts, the burpees, and the hang power cleans.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, was it 3-6-9?
Yeah.
Or
9-6-3.
But those movements you do super quickly, and so you'll joke and say, like, whoever wins the first round wins the workout, guys. But people who know, hopefully know not to take you seriously on that one. But 12 minutes is a long time for that workout. And
yeah.
if you went out too hard, like, you were going to suffer quickly. And Eric and I were like, man, that was a long workout. And I said, yeah, especially, I know Ryan loves to yell out, like, halfway. And he's like, oh, I know, meaning that you do that in the workout to people to kind of show them, like, hey guys, if you're dying right now,
you fucked up.
You messed up because we're only halfway done.
And yeah, that's that is part of the tough part for people to recognize is you can take a workout like Antonio. And yes, the sled push is incredibly taxing. However, it took about 3 minutes to do one round, whereas the example you just gave, the 9-6-3, it took about 30 to 45 seconds to do a round.
Mm-hmm.
So in the same amount of time, we're getting drastically more reps done because of how quick each round is versus the lengthier round. So
mm-hmm.
and this is why I like to laugh at people during the run workouts. You know, they always have this perception that 200 meters is so far.
Mm-hmm.
What they actually don't realize is it's only a minute of work, and that minute is saving them so much pain and
mm-hmm.
suffering
mm-hmm.
From their other movements that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they over worry about the wrong workouts like that, to the point it's like, no, you're worrying about the wrong thing.
Right.
And they don't run fast enough. Most people don't run fast enough. This is just a true statement for everybody, to make it hurt as bad as some of the other movements. And so it's just kind of a question of, like, okay, the run is basically a recovery 99% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I would challenge people to, instead of making the run a recovery, actually make it a focus point in order to be faster
mm-hmm.
at running. And, you know, decrease the load. Take your rest and breathers on the other movements that you're doing during the workout. Just so you are able to push the run at a faster pace.
Right.
Because that would be a change in what you're trying to tackle and approach in a workout.
And I think that is why at the whiteboard brief to start a class, that goal is so important, right? Because that frames how you attack an entire workout, is knowing, like, hey, what am I supposed to accomplish? And that's where you and the coaches will break down to, like, hey guys, this part of the workout right here should be your rest. Like, you need to use this as a recovery. And you'll hear people laugh, like, huh, like, what? The row is supposed to be my recovery? But if you're looking at a certain workout, like you said, that's how you should be looking at it. How long do you think it takes people from when they first come into the gym as a new member to however, at what point do you think they start to feel more confident in their ability to look at a workout and attack it the best way? Do you feel like you, like, oh, about 6 months in, people learn that, or?
So I think it takes new people a solid 9 months to a year before they are comfortable enough
mm-hmm.
to not necessarily branch out on their own, but to hyper-focus on wanting to improve in one area. The reason being is because it takes that a good half a year to make it that you feel confident or comfortable with movements.
Mm-hmm.
Once you've reached that state, you're comfortable, well, at least comfortable with enough movements, maybe not comfortable with all movements, but comfortable with enough movements, you're able to start toying with some other things, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're like, cool, you know, instead of doing 20 box jumps at 20 inches, I'm gonna do, I don't know, 25 at, which is the prescribed number, at 16 inches, right? So something a little bit lower, you know, I've been working with the 20 inch box for a little bit,
mm-hmm.
But now I'm gonna try and be like really fast on these box jumps. I'm gonna try and step down and hop up because I'm gonna work on my cardio of recovery as opposed to slowing down to work on being too utterly safe with like the movement.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a fine line of being so comfortable that you just know where your sweet spots are.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you know your sweet spots, it's about attacking one, either your weaknesses,
mm-hmm.
or getting comfortable with the next sweet spot. And I think that can't really happen until about half a year into the program.
Gotcha. How often, as a member, if I'm looking at a workout, or how often should I RX the workout? And as a, I guess, secondary part to that question is that determination made, or should it be made, by looking at a whole week? By looking at like what yesterday was and maybe what tomorrow is?
So, kind of the first part, how often should anyone attempt to RX a workout? It's really going to depend on the particular workout. However, I will say basically 90 to 95% of the workouts are written so that there's two or three people who are successfully doing the workout as prescribed. And so when we write a workout, there are thoughts to who these, not necessarily top performers are, but the best speeds that it can be achieved in at the appropriate weights.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's, we pull from multiple people. So it's not just, hey, this person is really good at running,
mm-hmm.
and this person is really good at deadlifts. So I know this person can handle this much deadlifts, and I know this person can handle this much running. So we're gonna combine the two to challenge both of those people to do better at each of those.
Mm-hmm.
But realistically, those are the two only two people that should even be attempting to do it as prescribed, because they're the only ones who have the capacity to handle
mm-hmm.
either of those two fields. Everyone else should be just looking to increase their capacity in one of those two movements,
mm-hmm.
whether it be the run or the deadlift. And the, you know, the flip side of it is people always choose stuff they're comfortable with. So if they know, they see a weight, they're like, oh, that's something I can do, like, because they have felt comfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
They psychologically don't have the capacity to push it to actually do it as prescribed, like we have originally intended,
mm-hmm.
which is fine. So, you know, athletes need to recognize that if you're choosing to go prescribed,
mm-hmm.
that it should be so mentally exhausting. You are choosing pain and suffering over just trying to increase in one particular area at a time. And to kind of circle back, you know, like I said, two to three people should be doing the workout as prescribed,
mm-hmm.
at most during for most workouts. There is a select few where doing as prescribed is, you know, manageable. But if you actually want to, one, increase your fitness, you should modify more often. And number two, if you actually want to stay healthy for the most part, you should modify what you're trying to do,
mm-hmm.
because the line for the prescribed workout is always moving. And if you continue to chase that line without being actually ready for it,
mm-hmm.
then you're gonna end up injured, hurt over time. You're gonna end up feeling demoralized because you didn't reach it.
Mm-hmm.
When really you might have a workout that comes up, you're like, cool, this is stuff I'm really good at. I'm going to try and do it as prescribed.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. However, the next day you have movements, you're like, okay, I'm decent at these, but you're not really good at them. So you
mm-hmm.
should not be trying to do it as prescribed.
Or you can do it, like, yes, like, I can lift that weight, but there's no way I'm going to get that done in the intended stimulus, right?
Right.
Like, within the goal
of
this workout.
And realizing that is super important. And a lot of times, I think the big thing with the RX version that people miss is completing the full range of motion. So there are oftentimes, and usually not on purpose, people will not do all the reps, or they'll short the range of motion, which technically means they're just not completing the work, which means they're not doing it as prescribed anyways. So they would be better off, they would get more fitness by doing all the reps correctly with full range of motion and at a modified weight or a modified rep scheme. And they would get significantly more fitness improvement by doing that than they would just trying to thrash themselves on the ground, trying to go for this arbitrary time that we've set out there for this essentially imaginary person that is a replication of someone in the gym.
Yeah. Yeah. Why does it feel like, at, as a member at times, or even recently I've heard this, that the workouts seem harder at times?
So, kind of like I was talking about earlier, the line is always moving. It is constantly evolving, constantly getting harder, and you can't, I mean, you can't get ahead of the line, if that makes sense. And so if you're someone who has the mindset of like, cool, I'm gonna just do every workout as prescribed, you're trying to get ahead of the line, and it doesn't work that way. You'd be better off lingering right behind it, and then when you feel good, and what I mean by good is your nutrition's on point. You got 7 to 8 hours of sleep. You've been drinking 64 to 70 ounces of water a day as a minimum. If you are not doing those things on a regular basis, your body's gonna feel like absolute trash when you try and do the workout as prescribed. And that is a result of you not taking care of the other 23 hours of the day versus just the 1 hour you're in here trying to kill your body.
Right.
So that is the fine line where people have to draw it in the sand. But then that is another reason why that perception is like, oh, these workouts are getting harder. Is, well, it's like, okay, because we're taking the requirements to the next level, it's not necessarily that it's more weight. It's not necessarily that it's harder movements. It might just be a marginal increase in like how much time is expected or the number of rounds expected. But in order to hit that, the other points of your life need to be really on point in order to make it so that you're able to achieve that level. And that is a struggle for people, because when they have this idea like, oh, I did the workout as prescribed, and you can check that RX box from there, they're like, I'm gonna do it again. And then I'm gonna do it again. And I'm gonna do it again. And that's the wrong mindset. It's like, cool, I did it once. I feel great. Let's go ahead and let's modify this next one and go from there. And so kind of just learning to be in tune with yourself and realistically, you know, you can increase fitness modifying 100% of workouts. So for the people that just want to feel better, then cool, let's modify. There's no reason to actually go for it. And you're going to see significantly larger gains in the long run because you're able to focus on pushing the things that you suffer at, as opposed to being limited by the things you suffer at, in the sense that each workout has a requirement, and if you can't meet that requirement, then it's a no-go. But if we can modify to the point where it's like, cool, this is a safe place for me, this is a great place for me to push it, you're able to increase fitness more than you are to be limited by fitness.
Right. Between the two, what would you say you're finding yourself do more as a coach? Telling people like, no, you need to do more, or telling people like, no, we're not doing that today, we need to be in this space, like bringing it down a notch?
I think, and this changes over time, and I've definitely focused on the workout, it's more the hey, you need to come down. And the reason that it's more of that is because you can achieve much better fitness with a lighter weight. Mm-hmm. That's usually the scenario. It's like, hey, we need to decrease the weight so that you're able to do these reps without even thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the level that we're trying to achieve when most of these workouts are done. The only time that it's, hey, we need to increase more,
mm-hmm.
is when we specifically say, hey, this needs to be heavy, and we're looking for an appropriate level of heavy.
Mm-hmm.
So, and because we do that less often, just because of how workouts are designed, we're not trying to do tons of high reps at a ridiculously heavy weight. That's
mm-hmm.
where you start running into issues. It has to be appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where the line is like, cool, I need you to do more because this is what we're trying to achieve. Whereas this other one's like, no, this is supposed to be lighter, so we need to be significantly lighter.
Mm-hmm.
Even though people look at the board and they're like, oh, that's a weight I can manage. But the question is, can you do it 10 rounds, or can you do 150 reps of it in 10 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
And generally they're not thinking about that. All they're thinking about, like, hey, I can do 1 minute of that for 10 reps. And
right.
Which that's not what we're doing. We're doing 12 minutes of that at 10 reps.
Right.
And maybe even, you know, obviously I said 150, so that means you got 15 rounds done in that time.
Right.
Which is a ton of work in a very short amount of period.
Mm-hmm.
So they that comes back to their the mental side, the mental game of just wanting to hold on and go for broke.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay if you're not ready for it, but you know, recognize that that is the step you need to take if you want to really dive into these workouts to make them as beneficial as possible.
Yeah. How would you say that you have evolved as a someone programming workouts from the time you first started to now?
They've gotten, the quality has improved. And what I mean by quality is, originally it was very trendy to program significant amount of quantity.
Mm-hmm.
And this is back when I first started. Just like, cool, how much can we get done in this short amount of time? Whereas now, and this is, I've known this for quite a few years, as I've experienced the trends and changes of it, that it's what's the best we can achieve in this amount of time, as opposed to the most we can achieve.
Okay.
And that is the biggest thing, is every single thing we do needs to be quality.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is, if we do a workout that has, say, 50 wall balls, and I tell you, hey, these 50 wall balls need to be done unbroken,
mm-hmm.
then you need to choose a weight and just do them unbroken. It's not about doing 50 reps.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the quality of doing it as the intention.
Mm-hmm.
So they should be full range, tossing the ball up over the line or into the line for the ladies. Making sure your hips get below your knees. Not necessarily perfect reps, because
mm-hmm.
no one moves perfectly, but so optimal that you're able to strive through it. Now, if I told most people to do 50 wall balls unbroken, they would imagine they could do it with a 10 pounder or an 8 pounder even.
Mm-hmm.
And I would actually say that if you can't do 50 unbroken, then you realistically have no business using an 8 pound wall ball, and you'd be better off just doing air squats and invisible thrusters.
Mm-hmm.
And what the members don't realize is that probably 50 to 60% of them
mm-hmm.
can't actually do that 8 pound wall ball for 50 reps.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unfortunate, but that is where they have to refocus their thoughts into, cool, how can I develop this into quality? And that's, a lot of it's going to come down to relaxing, breathing, full range of motion. If you're not practicing full range of motion, then you're not going to get better at the movement.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not listening to the coach talk about when to breathe, when to exhale, you're going to run out of breath as you go through the movement. So just being able to pick up on those little tips makes the difference for the members in that stance.
And I think a good example of quality is when we have our just our strength days, right? Where people are like, oh, we're just deadlifting today, or oh, all we're gonna do is bench. And people might think they could get that done in 15 minutes, right? But as a coach, can you explain what quality looks like on days where it seemingly looks like we're just doing a strength and that's it?
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be those days. You know, some days, it'll, you know, I don't know, probably a year and a half ago, somebody was like, it's like, oh, we're doing just two movements? I'm like, yeah, we're doing just two movements. Let me know what you think about that at the end of 10 minutes here. But the whole purpose of the strength race is to challenge your top end musculature, whatever it happens to be, whether it's a 5 reps at a time, 10 reps at a time, 1 rep at a time. But the only way to challenge that is to be in an optimal position and move up and down, which is why we spend so much time practicing and doing drills with basically no weight at all. If you feel that you can't do it with a PVC pipe, but that you can do it with a barbell, you're just being lazy and you can actually do it with a PVC pipe. So you have to create that recognition with the body, like, hey, this is how hard I should be working in order to stay in this position. And that, a lot of that comes back to the quantity versus quality thought. In this sense, it's not about doing more reps, it's about doing more weight. Everyone thinks more weight is better, when realistically, if you move better, then you're able to help your body along. You know, I think the best scenario here is, you know, my top end deadlift right now is about 300 something pounds, so just a little over 300 pounds. But I can rep out 225 for 21 reps if I wanted to. But that's because I've worked on having such a really good position that I'm accustomed to, even at the top end strength, that I feel comfortable staying in that position for longer periods of time. I don't care that it's 360 pounds. It doesn't bother me. I don't care it's 400 pounds. I just know that because I have trained such a good position and I know what it feels like to be in, like what I'm trying to focus on and squeeze and tighten, then I'm able to do the same thing when we do larger larger rep schemes at lighter loads. And that kind of comes back to the focus of the strength days. If we take something like a bench press, you know, my top end bench is not very high. However, my recovery to do bench press is significantly greater than someone who does like a 300 pound bench. And it doesn't have to do with them having a stronger bench. It has to do with me having a better bench position, which I've developed over time, as well as put a lot of energy and focus into making sure that I'm staying in that position even when I'm working on a max, as opposed to coming to a suboptimal position and kind of inching it out without too much thought.
Yeah. When you say that you've studied programming or that you kind of research it or try to gain knowledge elsewhere, what does that look like for you?
So this is more super abstract because there's no book on programming. No one's ever written anything. The CrossFit methodology is laid out in the level 1 and level 2 training guide. However, grasping it and understanding it are entirely different than just reading it.
Are you talking about that chart?
Yeah. And so I would say the biggest studying is just remembering how people have fared. From experience of doing stuff. So I know that hands tend to rip pretty frequently if we do too much hanging from the bar in 1 week, right? So if it happens two times you at the start and the end, you can generally get away with it. But if it happens like back to back days, like those were pants. So for that reason, I try and avoid that for the most part. Now, sometimes it's worth training because it can come up from time to time, but it can also lead to issues like that. And little nuances like that will help dictate how I adapt programming over time, as well as what, you know, when I'm coaching or just even watching athletes, I am watching like how quickly they move through movements and understanding that even like the best athletes, like, cool, this is how quickly they do these weights. This is what the expectation is, because I see it, because I view it, and I have that data based on time. Mm-hmm. We know what the expectation is in the long run, or what fitness is capable of. And from there, we're able to take a step back and kind of graph how we want to get to that level.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very long process to get to that level, but it's very simple from that standpoint to say, like, okay, you know, a games athlete can do 150 wall balls unbroken. If you can't do 50, you know, we got to work on some things.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, being able to just draw that line and hit these baseline assessments
mm-hmm.
of expectations allows for that kind of adaptation over time.
And how do you measure success with your programming? Or, I mean, every so often are you looking at your members and going, okay, we're getting really good at this, but we're lacking in this? Or, I mean, what does that look like?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing for that is it's not necessarily whether it's missing or not. It's more of what changes have been made through the membership based on like their ability to push, the ability to move weights since the last time we did something like that. So we take like a front squat, you know, being able to see like, okay, hey, 60% of the gym PR'd their 10 rep max front squat. Awesome. How much have we worked front squat in the last couple months? Pretty minimally.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, great. That means everything we've been doing, including like those block step ups we did, they have attributed to increasing everyone's ability to front squat more.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily that we need to do more front squatting. It's
right.
We need to you know, make sure we're having it all those little extra things that also attribute to accomplishing
mm-hmm.
greatness in all areas. And then it, likewise, if there's a weak point, if we, the other day, I said we were really weak at something. I don't remember what it was now. But I took, it was a couple weeks ago now. But I was like, cool, we need to make sure more of this is getting in there.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to prevent that weakness from like actually being a weak point,
mm-hmm.
because it's something that the members they don't recognize. So if we take an example, on Monday that we had that partner workout, it was 10 rounds for time, 100 meter sprint, and 10 pull-ups. Or so 20 rounds for time, technically with a partner, you alternated, but each partner can do 10 rounds. And if they did pull-ups correctly on that workout, they did 100 pull-ups. A ton of people were fixated on the fact that they did the workout as prescribed. However, next to zero of them actually realized they did 100 pull-ups.
Mm-hmm.
They should be more excited about doing 100 pull-ups
mm-hmm.
than they should be about riding RX next to the ring.
Yeah.
If I had programmed that they do 9 pull-ups each
mm-hmm.
instead of 10, they should have been stoked they did 90 pull-ups
mm-hmm.
instead of the fact that I didn't give them the RX.
Yeah.
Because essentially everyone who did 100 pull-ups, basically none of them had even done 90 pull-ups before. Some of them have probably never done 80, and some of them even 70.
Mm-hmm.
And if we had reduced that number just a little bit, they would have still accomplished something they never accomplished before. But because they were chasing the RX,
mm-hmm.
they were incredibly sore in their lats and everything like that. And instead of taking a step back and just saying like, cool, I'm going to do 100 pull-ups right now, or 90 pull-ups, whatever it happens to be. Let's call it 90 because math's going to be a little bit easier. I'm going to do three sets of three. So I'm going to sprint, I'm going to do three pull-ups, come down, 3 seconds, hop up, do three, come down, 3 seconds, hop up, do three.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm training with a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I know I can always do three sets of three with 3 seconds of rest. It doesn't matter how tired I am ever.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have that knowledge, you can take that knowledge to any other workout you want to.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, when you start using it in other workouts, you're like, I'm going to try doing five in a row today.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go 5 and 5 on these 10 because I've now trained capacity a little bit more.
Yeah.
Say you only get 60 pull-ups in the day, but you're able to train doing 5 in a row, rest 5 seconds, do 5 more, and you're able to accomplish that workout. And you're still probably, even if you're doing that, you're still probably going to meet the stimulus
mm-hmm.
because of how short that rest actually is and how much you're kind of pushing it. But you're actually moving with the purpose of achievement. And that is the biggest miss that people don't recognize the change that they've actually made.
Mm-hmm.
One they do recognize a lot is running. A lot of them talking about like, oh yeah, I used to walk this far.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran without stopping. Like that applies to every single workout we do.
Yeah.
It's like you just did 105 pounds on your deadlift. Your max deadlift is 125,
mm-hmm.
right? You just did it 120 times.
Yeah.
You didn't even know you did it 120 times.
Right.
You didn't recognize that. You just know your max is 125 and that's it.
Yeah.
But you have no perception that you just did almost near your max,
right?
120 times.
Yeah.
Which is amazing in a feat in itself.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, anything else that you want to touch on regarding programming or maybe something that, I mean, because I don't, should members really be thinking about programming?
No, they should only be focused on what the goal is of the workout,
mm-hmm.
and then their focus from there is, cool, how can I attack this goal and my weaknesses at the same time, if they really want to get better.
Mm-hmm.
If they do not really care about making improvements, then that's fine. They don't have to care about making improvements.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, it's mostly mental improvements in that state. What they need to recognize then is that every single workout is a chance for them to be better,
mm-hmm.
but they don't have to try and kill themselves with each workout.
Right.
They just need to challenge themselves in a particular area
mm-hmm.
for them to improve on something in that workout. So, and I think regardless of how shitty your day may or may not have been, I think it's a super beneficial for people to be like, hey, I'm just gonna focus on making sure I do this run really well today, or hey, I'm going to focus on making sure I do these box jumps really well today,
mm-hmm.
with keeping the integrity of the workout.
Right.
So, and that's where, you know, talking to the coach is a great opportunity. You know, you might have an idea of, hey, I really want to focus on this today. I'm like, cool, I'm glad you want to focus on that. However,
mm-hmm.
This is how this movement should feel today. So it's not the best day to practice that. So maybe we focus on doing this instead. In some workouts recently, I've had a couple people ask like, hey, is this a good day to practice double unders? I'm like, yes, this is a perfect day to do 30 seconds of double under practice,
mm-hmm.
and that's fine. Like, get as many as you can in 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a unique opportunity to try it, because not every workout is like that.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So at the end of the day, modify workouts and you'll get fitter.
Get better.